You got to get out more.
Me too.
And what I mean by that is get out of the little prisons that we create inside of our minds, the little small, apart from God, thoughts and feelings that often imprison us, out of the virtual world, technology when it's misused, into the actual world of God and the kingdom of God. So we're exploring together how in the world do we navigate technology, which is a great gift but can be tremendously deforming. How can we make it serve us instead of the other way around? And we're looking at a little framework that Jay Kim used in his book, The Analog Christian, of the fruit of the Spirit as kind of an alternative to the deformed qualities that our life can take on when we just live by default mode with technology. Now, I want to begin today. We're going to talk about love, the first fruit of the Spirit. I want to begin with a real important way of understanding the fruit of the Spirit. In Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart, he makes a distinction, and I want to connect a couple dots with work in the field of psychology. He talks about feelings and their underlying condition, and we'll come back to the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, by the way, we made commitments too. You might just want to remember that, like, an hour a day a week, 1 week a year, we will turn our devices off. We will unplug. And we will wake up before our devices do, and we will put them to bed before we go to bed, so that the first word thought of the day and the last one belong to God and not to doom scrolling. And we will, with our friends or our spouses, give access, let them know our passwords. My buddy Rick knows, like with our bank account, how to get into it. We will do that. Parents will have full access to whatever it is their kids are viewing and connecting with online. Whatever your kind of commitments are, those are from Andy Crouch's little book. Just make that commitment today. Now, here's what Dallas Willard writes. Most of the conditions we commonly speak of as feelings are really not feelings at all, but feeling tones or sensations that accompany those conditions that are so powerful that the conditions themselves become identified with a sensation. This is true of love, hatred, contempt, hurry, peace, self-esteem, discouragement, and so. So let me say a word about that now. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, there is a condition, and then there's also a feeling of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here's the distinction. I'm going to the overhead cam. In the field of psychology, ton of work over many decades distinguishing between what is a state and what is a trait. The idea here is that a state is a temporary condition that's generally dependent on a particular situation or circumstance and will fairly quickly change or shift or evaporate. A trait, on the other hand, is a relatively enduring quality or characteristic, a part of my character that tends to be true across situations. So this describes a person who is perhaps anxious or non-anxious or courageous or loving or so on. Now, here's part of what's critical. If I wanted to develop the right kinds of traits, and I think the fruit of the Spirit might be thought of as traits, I want to become a person of love and a person of joy and a person of peace. If I'm going to do that, I cannot idolize being in a particular state. The idea here being that if I demand always to have peaceful feelings, well, then part of what I will do is I will avoid having difficult conversations with people because that'll make me feel anxious. But then I'll never be able to develop the trait of being a truly at-peace person. And the same thing is true of joy, and the same thing is true of love, the same thing is true of courage. If I want to grow as a courageous person, then I will have to enter into situations where I feel fear. and yet respond and act in the right way. And then over time, I will become a less fearful, a more courageous person. So understanding the difference between a state and a trait and thinking about the fruit of the spirit that we're looking at as a trait, a quality that I want to develop. But what that means is I will have to experience feelings that are kind of the opposite of that. That's what we're learning together as we walk through the fruit of the spirit. Now, here's what Jay writes about love and the challenge of online technology. He writes about a young woman named Madison Halloran. She was a successful student athlete at University of Pennsylvania. Tragically, ended up dying of suicide. And he writes about how from the look of her Instagram feed, one would never know she suffered from severe depression and loneliness. A journalist wrote the life Madison projected on her own Instagram feed was filled with shots that seemed to confirm everyone's expectation that she was happily enjoying life, very nearly the epitome of what every young girl is supposed to hope she becomes. But as we all know well by now, the curated versions of our lives we present on social media are simply a new form of the glossy magazine ads of past generations. Unrealistic, idealized, touched-up caricatures designed to provoke envy and longing. The difference, Jay goes on to write, is where the magazine ads were clearly just magazine ads. You can stop looking at them. When we're scrolling online, we kind of get hooked. We kind of get addicted. And it looks as though those are other people's real lives. And then Jay writes about how this is not an isolated event. In 2018, nearly 50,000 Americans ended their own lives. Suicide was and continues to be the leading cause of non-accidental death among those 34 years old and younger. For every person killed by another, there are more than 2.5 people killed by themselves. The problem has gotten far worse, not better, since the rise of social media, especially among emerging generations. The demographic most likely to spend significant time on their smartphones. Between 2006 and 2016, the suicide rate for those between the ages of 10 and 17 rose by 70%. Social media, Jay writes, may not be so social after all. So the invitation is to limit, restrict, monitor, discern the amount of time that I'm spending online and to make sure that I get out more. And in particular, that I receive love from God and offer love to other people in a way that grows the trait, the fruit of the spirit of love in me. Another quality that is on the rise in social media that we will see is hostility and outrage. And I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. Nancy and I went for a hike, and we had our dog Cooper with us, and a guy was coming down the trail, and he had a dog. And there was a moment when the two dogs were interacting, and his dog gave a little yelp. And the level of aggression and hostility that came out of this guy was staggering. And quite honestly, my immediate response was not to pray and ask God, how should I respond to this? And what would be the best thing to do? And it was not to calmly say, you know, my name is John. Let's just talk about this for a minute. The level of rage and hostility inside me that flared up in a moment was just quite extraordinary. And Nancy's was pretty high too. Now, it's not always easy to know how to respond in a moment like that. This is a case where he could have been quite threatening and my wife's there. So, like, it's not clear exactly what the right thing to do is in that moment. But I'll tell you what I did not do. I did not turn to God real quickly and say, okay, God, would you lead me and guide me and help me to go through this with wisdom? And so it wasn't there in me. I don't yet have that trait. I don't yet have the freedom from the reflexive response of meeting hate with hate that in my best self I would like to have. And that's the fruit of the spirit that we're going after. So here's an alternative story around that. This is from Viktor Frankl, his wonderful book, which Jay cites as he's talking about love, Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. when he has been placed in a concentration camp in a place where you would think that hostility and the desire for revenge would become overwhelming. But somebody, when he's in this concentration camp, his parents, ultimately he would find out pretty much everybody in his family, everybody that he loved had been killed by the Nazis. But at this point, he doesn't yet know that. Somebody makes a comment about their wife. Here's what Frankl writes. Just allow God to speak his love to you as you hear these words. This brought thoughts of my own wife to mind. And as we stumbled on for miles, slipping on icy spots, supporting each other time and again, dragging one another upward and onward, nothing was said, but we knew each of us was thinking of his wife. Occasionally I looked at the sky where the stars were fading, pink light of morning beginning to spread, but my mind clung to my wife's image, imagining it with an uncanny acuteness. I heard her answering me, saw her smile, a frank and encouraging look, real or not. Her look was then more luminous than the sun which was beginning to rise. A thought transfixed me. For the first time in my life, I saw the truth as it is set into song by so many poets, proclaimed as the final wisdom by so many thinkers, that love, the truth that love, is the ultimate and highest goal to which a human being can aspire. I grasped the meaning of the greatest secret that human poetry and human thought and belief have to impart. The salvation of man is through love and in love. I understood how a person who has nothing left in this world still may know bliss, be it only for a moment, in the contemplation of the beloved. In a position of utter desolation, when a person cannot express themselves in positive action, when their only achievement may consist in enduring their sufferings in the right way, in an honorable way, in such a position, a person can, through loving contemplation of the image he carries of the beloved, achieve fulfillment. For the first time in my life, I was able to understand the meaning of the words. The angels are lost in perpetual contemplation of an infinite glory. And that glory is love. So today, let it go. Attitudes of other people, that person that you meet on the trail. Nancy pointed out after we left this guy on the trail that his dog apparently was a service dog. And who knows what emotional health issues or inner demons that this person has to battle. God does. For today, no comparing your own insides with the outsides of other people that you see, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. No, today, love. For me to know that I am loved by God with all of my imperfections and my failures and my mess-ups and my inadequacies and the ways that I can feel like a little lump, but he loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. And you are loved by him. And you and I, in the fellowship of the withered hands and our own inadequacy, can be the conduits of love for other people. So in every interaction with each person today, as I am able to, just a pause, just a prayer, God help me love. God fill me with love. I gotta get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.